The following program has been furnished and paid for by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSCB and KGBC are not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Thank you for joining us. And as usual, please don't assume that whatever you hear on the show today is directly applicable to your facts and circumstances. Let's have you check with your existing advisors to make sure that, one, you understood the concept that was discussed, and secondly, and probably most importantly, that it applies to your situation. And your existing advisors should already be aware of your existing facts and circumstances. If you don't have such advisors, feel free to go to our website at beaplanner.com. That's beaplanner.com. And go to the forms link, second link from the top right, and complete at least step one, form one, the client profile, and then circle back to the navigation area and book a call. It'll be the rightmost link, and be happy to discuss with you what we might be able to do to help you attain your goals and objectives. And as far as the typical client that will work with us, it's usually someone that's got retirement fund concerns. They are behind on saving for retirement, which most Americans are. And I would suggest to you that if you're, quote, normal, and you're in your, let's say, late 50s, early 60s, you're going to need somewhere close to $3 million in your retirement, your 401ks, your IRAs, assuming they're pre-tax. Now, if they're not pre-tax, if they're Roth, well, then your number goes down substantially because you'll avoid an unknown tax rate. We really don't know what the tax rates are going to be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road. And in case you're not aware, even the IRS's life expectancy tables show us males to live to a ripe old age of 85 to 86, females 87 to 88. So if you're close to your 60th birthday, as the case may be, you've got a need for quite a bit of retirement savings or retirement wealth. And it's not so much the amount as it is the cash flow that you've got coming in. But let's just presume we can generate more cash flow if we have a higher amount working for us. And then, of course, the manner in which it's working is also largely going to dictate what your retirement years are going to be like. But in any event, when you look at the tax rates involved, even now, when you have RMDs that are based on your life expectancy that are subject to tax, you're very likely going to be over, in many people's case at least, the ones that are truly savers and have built up a decent balance in a 401 or IRA, you're going to recognize pretty quickly how much tax you'll be liable for each year. And I'm going to suggest to you that there's never been a better time to start undertaking Roth conversions. You don't have to convert your entire pre-tax account balance. You can do pieces of it over the years. And I think most of us that look at retirement and taxation, et cetera, we would hope that we've got 8 or 9 years before there really is going to be a big change in tax rates, at least it's driven politically. And when I say at least that's driven politically, we've got a problem. And in fact, we're up against the wall again right now. For those of you that are watching the news, and I've got an article we'll talk about here momentarily, but once again, we've got a looming deadline where we will need to raise the debt ceiling to be able to accommodate more borrowing. That's, I believe it's either on the 30th or by the 1st of October. So watch the news, and I've got an article we're going to discuss about what happens with the IRS, tax issues, etc., if the government starts shutting down. Okay, Medicare, Social Security, those will continue. But in any event, my suggestion is if you've got at least several hundred thousand, I don't know that I would worry about it if you're under that level, because frankly, you need as much principal working for you to generate more cash flow. But, you know, if you've got enough money to pay outside of the IRAs, the 401, so you've got a money market account, you've got money maybe still in the stock market, and it's easily accessible, you can liquidate it easy, I would suggest you start the process of converting your pre-tax accounts that you're saving for retirement. And I'm not a big fan of paying the tax out of those accounts, because that cannibalizes the dollars that could still be making you tax deferred or tax-free if maybe you've already got some Roth money. Last thing I would do is tell you to use that to pay taxes. I mean, that really defeats much of the purpose. But in any event, again, for those of you that don't have advisors to consult with on these topics, real estate taxation, retirement plan, taxation planning, and funding real estate investments with your retirement funds, zero tax math, which we like to get into those brackets or those rates by the time we get to retirement. Those are all things that we do. And then on the way, we review various investment opportunities that you may bring us related to real estate, private partnership syndications, multifamily assets, which is one of the better performing classes of asset investments for the average layperson. Okay, well, let's talk about the article that I noticed recently in Kiplinger. Let's see, when did this come about here? Updated 5 days ago. Okay, so it's been out there. And the possibility of a government shutdown is spotlighting several federal agencies, including the IRS, raising questions about what services might be impacted. And just before we go any further, I think it's safe to assume that it's only the money going out of IRS. In other words, refunds that you might have waiting, it's not going to prevent them from processing incoming dollars or incoming liabilities where they can get the clock started on collections. I'm sure that's where we're headed. Again, I haven't read this article. I just saw it on my list of potential articles that I'd started, and I was waiting to see if we got to the weekend at least without some deal being cut in Congress. It's going to be real easy to, or it's going to be real interesting to watch who folds in terms of giving in. And I don't know, maybe for the first time, Republicans can feel good enough about some of the things that have been undertaken and completed recently that they'll stay strong. But Democrats, of course, are wanting more spending. They're wanting more COVID relief credits that are expiring or have expired recently. And, of course, the Republicans are acting, at least, like they want no more spending than what's necessary, quote-unquote. And, of course, there's always major disagreement over that. But I'll promise you this. Whatever happens, whether it's on the, quote, skinny side or on the robust side, the pleasingly plump side, let's say, there's going to be so much pork that gets slid into that bill, it'll make your head spin. And whether it's done now or it's done as part of appropriations moving forward, just keep your eye on the ball, and it'll be business as usual, I believe, once that happens. But in any way, or any event, now these questions are arising again with talk of a possible temporary government shutdown if lawmakers don't reach a funding agreement in time. And that's on top of the significant changes that the IRS is already experiencing in its operations and leadership. So let's go into this article in detail. We've got a new IRS commissioner, Congressman Billy Long. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That's talking about the guy that just left the role or was removed from his role just a few months after he was confirmed. It was Trump's pick earlier this year. So Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, I've forgotten how he pronounces it, I believe it's Bessent, is handling IRS operations until a replacement is selected. Also, the agency successfully launched the Direct File Program, an IRS tax prep and filing service, where some taxpayers can file their federal tax returns directly with the agency for free. Direct File was available for this past 2025 tax filing season, though not all states are signed up for the service. However, given Republican control of the White House and Congress, the return of the Direct File program from the upcoming filing season is far from certain. There has been some controversy with it. I won't get into it today. But the tax concerns are under the Biden administration, the IRS had been cracking down on fraud and tax scams. Boy, there's been a lot. A lot of them target preparers and their databases. The tax agency also wanted to hire 3,700 new agents to audit complex returns, though, as Kiplinger reported earlier, the agency hit some roadblocks partly due to lack of interest in the accounting field. Oh my gosh, I can't imagine that. For any of you accountants listening, it's such a intriguing and challenging career path for young accountants, and I emphasize young. I can't imagine why they don't want to devote the rest of their life to doing tax work, planning, and preparation. I mean, it's a dying breed. The number of accounting majors now at the university level is scary when you think about the projected number of employment positions, or the need, I guess the demand. And it's this kind of stuff that gives all of us white hair. You know, it's happened several times over the last few years, as I mentioned, it's hard to explain to clients just what that does to stop, start on the IRS's end, just as it does in our preparation efforts. Worst thing we can do is get into preparing a tax return and realize that certain data is missing. And, you know, this is data that usually has been requested in the form of a tax organizer or other checklist. And for whatever reason, clients don't understand the question. They don't think it applies to them. And they don't realize when they call later, persistently in some cases, and say, well, when is my return going to be completed? And we mention, well, when we get the data that we requested, we will be able to move to a wrap-up stage. And so it's frustrating on both ends. It's not just on their end to wait for a tax return. So in addition to ramped up enforcement efforts, the IRS recently touted gains such as reduced processing times, faster tax refunds, shorter wait times for taxpayer phone assistance, and improvements with paperless processing. I'm not sure what measure, what the milestone or the line in the sand that they're measuring that from, but I haven't seen reduced processing times or faster tax refunds. Shorter wait times for phone assistance? I don't know. I mean, the phone calls that we make, we have a practitioner priority line, and the hold times haven't been really any less there. And in fact, I've lost track of the number of times I've been on hold for 45 minutes to an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and then an automated message comes on saying they're sorry, but you'll have to try your call again, which that usually happens as you get close to the closing time at the end of the day. And the phone system, I guess, is real time calculating how many more calls might occur and whether or not you'll get in. But it is frustrating, and most of the states aren't any better. We've got California tax returns that we inevitably have to make calls about, and those are long hold times in many cases. And in those cases, sometimes they just never call. Well, you can leave your name and number, and they'll say they'll call you back within an hour or two. And I know there's been times we never got the call back. So it's frustrating. And I wish, you would think in this day of electronic filing submissions, et cetera, it would eliminate some of this. I mean, again, we are using their systems to submit. So, you never know which pipe or which turn in the pipe something gets stuck in. But anyway, it's not all that efficient at times. As we mentioned, Trump's pick for IRS commissioner, a former congressman and auctioneer, Billy Long, was recently relieved of his duties at the tax agency after a couple of months on the job. Long's limited tax expertise marked a significant leadership shift. There have now been, this is amazing, there's now been 7 acting IRS commissioners in just the first 8 months of Trump's second term. Now, I know the commission of the IRS is not the one doing the heavy lifting, but they are the ones directing policy, and policy filters down. And so I don't know. It's not a good look, let's say. The tax agency is also grappling with a revolving door of other senior officials funding cuts and significant workforce reductions that could impact its ability to carry out customer service responsibilities and implementing Trump's new tax bill initiatives. So a question of whether IRS enforcement activity and process improvement would halt if the federal government shut down, and what services would be shuttered. Let's take a look. First, it's important to note that the last government shutdown feared for March 2025 was averted. The next key funding deadline is September 30th. Today's the 28th, so we are right on the cusp of the pending deadline. And that what has to happen by that 30th deadline is lawmakers have to reach a continuing resolution, a CR, the dreaded CRs that we keep doing instead of formalizing a real budget, to reach a continuing resolution to fund the government. Congress has yet to finalize a new funding agreement, so the threat of a shutdown looms large as the deadline approaches. On September 23rd, President Trump canceled a meeting planned with the Democratic leaders of the U.S. House of Representatives and U.S. Senate, a move which some see as increasing the likelihood of a shutdown. Democrats are fighting to repeal nearly $1 trillion in GOP Medicaid cuts that would reduce coverage for millions, including older adults, children, and people with disabilities. They also want to extend enhanced affordable care premium tax credits to keep insurance affordable. I'm not sure the part about insurance being kept affordable. Have you checked your insurance premiums lately? I mean, it's amazing how high they've gotten from when we were once promised. I mean, I guess the key word was access to health care. Anybody that has money can get health care. You may not like the process for how you go about it, but theoretically, you can go to the gatekeeper, you can get referred out to the quote specialist and get your bill at the end of the day, and you know, usually there'll be a piece that you have to pay, and unless it's just an office visit, it's surprisingly high if you have anything seriously wrong with you. And it's frankly, it's one of the top reasons I suggest people that have a choice where they want to lay their head down at night consider some of the Southeast Asia countries, as I did a number of years ago, and come to realize firsthand, personal experience, how much better the health care is, at least here in Thailand, than what we have in America at a fraction of the price. I had an extended hospital visit that I'm told would have cost at least $450,000 to $500,000 in the U.S. I've had a couple of my doctor clients confirm that. That cost me $14,000 in Bangkok, and that was one bill at the end when I was leaving the hospital after 35 days, and I just, you know, it was mind-boggling. I mean, it was very welcomed, I'll say. But in any event, you know, the 2025 tax and spending bill, the Medicaid cuts in that bill will force states to reduce benefits, jeopardize hospitals, and increase the uninsured population in the U.S. by over 10 million people. And I don't know the details. exactly of who's affected. Medicaid is not an area that I have spent much time looking at, but I'll tell you, it's often misrepresented in the media. So, you know, I don't know what to believe, and I don't know anybody. I don't think I've got any clients that are on Medicaid, and don't really have anybody with firsthand experience I could consult. Meanwhile, President Trump and Republicans want a so-called clean continuing resolution. Still, the Trump administration is reportedly directing federal agencies to prepare for potential large-scale permanent layoffs of federal employees in the event of a shutdown. That would be a break from past shutdowns, which usually involve temporary furloughs. So let's take a look. I tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back momentarily, and we'll pick back up with this article. And the next question will be, what happens if the government shuts down? We'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's BIA Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Best Friends Animal Society is working to ensure that every dog and cat in the country has a safe place to call home. Home. Just like Superman, you can use your power for good. Join us. Visit bestfriends.org to adopt an out-of-this-world pet near you. Together, we will save them all.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. But I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
This week's BIA Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we've been talking about a Kiplinger article on what happens when a government shutdown occurs. And, you know, we're probably about halfway through that article, so we may not have time for much else. Before I forget, I wanted to mention that normally on Sundays, we try to do a cyber security version of the Be a Planner show, where we have Mr. A.I. Nguyen, our technical guru, on. But unfortunately, this weekend, he was not able to join us. So we're talking taxes, deficits, may get to some real estate, maybe not. But there's so much going on in the government right now. It's kind of, you know, I don't know how the Trump administration keeps up between all the lawsuits and indictments and everything else that's going on. You know, the economics almost seems like, you know, who's taking care of that while all this other stuff is going on. But, in any event, I was just checking something. I thought I had another article pop in that looked interesting. I'll come back to that. So, question again is, what happens when the government actually shuts down? And let me get back to... here we go. This is where I marked my spot. In a government shutdown, most federal agencies and workers experience some impact. I love this word. All non-essential work is forced to stop. But unfortunately, that's only temporary. I'm not sure why we allow non-essential work in any event. I know the definition of that is probably not what it sounds like. But, you know, I've often wondered, how does any large organization, the government being no exception, in fact, the government might be the rule, how do they know when to add the next 100 or 100,000 employees? It's crazy how many employees we have at the federal level. I don't even know what the number is, but I'll promise you, you'd be shocked if we had it in front of us here. However, so all non-essential work, and that's in quotes, by the way, is forced to stop. How appropriate. However, federal agencies have backup plans, and essential services continue to function at varying levels. For example, critical services like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid payments continue. Of course, anytime the government shuts down, significant impacts ripple throughout the U.S., affecting people across the U.S. in different ways. I would say across the world. It's not just the U.S. President of the National Treasury Employees Union, Ms. Doreen Greenwald, has emphasized in the face of previous shutdown threats that, quote, a government shutdown is not a harmless D.C. drama. Federal employees in every American community will lose income through no fault of their own, and in many cases, they will be locked out of doing the work they were hired to do for the American people, end quote. The National Treasury Employees Union represents federal workers in 35 departments and agencies. So that's like less than 10% of the total. I think the latest number I saw is there's over 450 government departments and agencies. Well, here's the question that we tuned into this article for. Does the IRS close during a shutdown? Initially, it was assumed that the IRS would function as usual during a government shutdown, as its operations could be sustained through IRA funding. And that's not your retirement accounts. That is the LG, it was the act that Biden was able to pass. I don't remember it because it was not something that had much good in it. And I think some of it's been undone today. But anyway, it was back in, let's see, was it 2022, 2023, somewhere in there? So they were thinking that its operations could be sustained through IRA funding. That's where the IRS was given $87 billion to add a bunch of people to update computer systems, which I don't think has happened yet. And then the Republicans won control of the House and Senate, and they started chopping because, you know, the onerous provisions that were included therein to go after small business and other individuals, even though they said, oh, well, this would only affect people with $400,000 in income or higher. Well, they didn't mention that a small business that grossed over $400,000 would be in the bullseye. It wasn't just someone that netted or made $400,000. So anyway, then reporting indicated under the IRA that the IRS would likely partially shut down and potentially furlough thousands of its employees. And by the way, thousands of its employees would not be a majority by any stretch. I'm wondering if they'll give us a number here, which would significantly impact agency operations. Let me read that sentence in total again. Reported back then, this is under the IRA, reporting indicated that the IRS would likely partially shut down and potentially furlough thousands of its employees, which would significantly impact agency operations. Now, the Treasury Department is reportedly indicating that IRS staff would continue working. More on that down below. Let's see. Last year, the U.S. Treasury Department released an Internal Revenue Service contingency plan. Under the plan, it appears that in the event of a shutdown, most core tax administration activity would typically stop. Nearly 60,000 IRS employees could be furloughed. Some services could continue, normally supported by only about a third of the IRS's workforce. These are just a few aspects of the plan, but it's hard to know exactly how the IRS would implement its contingency plan and how that might affect you and your taxes. And I'm curious, let me see here, how many employees there are. I'm sure it'll be shocking. Let's see. How many IRS employees are there in the U.S.? I guess that's probably enough. Right at 90,000. Actually, 93,654 if you're counting part-time and full-time. So almost 100,000 employees is what it takes to administer the tax system. And again, I just mentioned that nearly 60,000 could be furloughed. Some services could continue, normally supported by only about a third of the workforce. So that would make sense. If they had 95, they're going to furlough 60. That would leave about 35,000. That math checks out. Most core tax administration activity would typically stop. I'm not sure what they're throwing into that. If it's anything like COVID, responding to taxpayer inquiries, letters, etc., that would be deemed core tax administration, because that type of work slowed to a crawl during COVID. These are just a few aspects of the plan, but it's hard to know exactly how the IRS would implement the contingency plan and how that might impact you and your taxes. More recently, former acting IRS commissioner Malene Krauss and the Treasury Department reportedly signaled that IRS staff would be expected to keep working through a shutdown, according to a March 2025 IRS memorandum. According to several reports, the memo indicated that IRS employees would remain exempt from furlough in the early days of a lapse in government funding. However, it's hard to say exactly how the Trump administration leadership would handle a shutdown now. As a result, as the next funding deadline approaches, stay informed about any potential impacts on your tax filing process or communications from the IRS. And as you know, we will on this show keep you updated about anything that we notice comes across of relevance. Let's turn our attention. I've just got about 10 minutes. There were a couple of good articles this week on the multifamily space. Tell you what, let's take our last break here hurriedly, and we'll circle back, and I'll pick up with at least one, maybe two articles discussing the impact of the recent tax or interest rate cuts on real estate. We'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and big dreams. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and big dreams.
Big dreams and big dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the last segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I did not find my article. I hid it so well. I found another one that was another article I was going to try to get time to get to. It's talking about where you find deals in commercial real estate, multifamily specifically. And I know some of these are probably what you would guess, but it's interesting to see. This is written by a syndicator, so it's always good to see that syndicators conclude the same sources at times. And of course, the individual unique ability or skill sets of such syndicators is really what drives the difference. But most great deals do not come from foreclosures, bank repos, and desperate sellers. Now, I did not say that you would not find good deals here, but in reality, in the commercial investment real estate world, there just are not many in this category. And, of course, that's because, in large measure, I've said it many times before, and I probably shouldn't be as adamant as I have been in the past. I mean, the current debt situation with the trouble that all the bridge loans have put people in, and again, the bridge loans is temporary debt, but you know, starting about 3 years ago, bank lenders and other lenders pretty much forced that type of debt on anybody that wanted to borrow money from them because they knew what was coming, or they projected what was coming, and they didn't want to be locked in to long-term low interest rates, and they wanted the risk be placed on the borrower. But in any event, so there's not many in these obvious categories. For example, if you see a property for sale and being advertised on websites like LoopNet, CoStar, and others, more than likely they are not that great. Why? Because if they were there, let's say if they were, there would not be a need to put these properties on these sites in the first place because they would already be sold. So for what a lot of syndicators look for, they depend on, I'm not going to use the words of this person, I'm going to say less savvy realtors, less savvy owners, and less savvy managers. And over the last 30 years, this is where they have found the best deals. Why? The above folks, and I'm in all three categories, by the way, this particular syndicator is a licensed real estate broker. He is an owner, and he manages, I forget how many multifamily properties, some from an ownership perspective, others he manages for third-party owners. But in any event, the above folks can easily become complacent, lazy, or this is the category I would suggest is most often seen, busy with other things. The thing that suffers when these people get fixated on other items, let's see here, I got off the page here, is the apartment or commercial property that they own or manage. That's what suffers. Believe me, this spells opportunity. You might be asking, how can I take advantage of the opportunities? It's very simple. By doing what 90% of the other investors out there aren't doing. Get involved with someone that makes a habit of cultivating these opportunities. So pick your syndicator carefully. Turn over every stone and look beneath the surface on opportunities. That's I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. Get involved with someone that makes a habit of cultivating these opportunities, turning over every stone, looking beneath the surface, and proactively working on finding the gems by emphasizing the time spent on the three items above. Now, I could go further, and again, this gentleman is a syndicator, so naturally he's not going to tell you find syndicators that have at least reacted logically and rationally over the last 3 years to the hardship that many syndicators have experienced. Now, maybe this guy is perfect. I don't know. I don't think so. I've listened to his podcast more than a couple times, and I would tell you I question a lot of what he represents to be the norm. And the problem is that you won't know unless you've been involved with them before on other transactions. And I, without mentioning names, I know there's a Houston platform just had recently, or maybe back in May, I can't remember, they had some special confab and had several syndicators on the program to speak. Well, one of them had had one foreclosure a year back and two other properties in trouble, and he was still being touted as God's gift to multifamily real estate. And I believe they just assume that, you know, most people aren't in the know when it comes to who's had problems. And, you know, we try to stay in the know. I'm not going to tell you we know everyone out there that's had problems, but I'll tell you this. If we know, we'll make sure you know, and we keep scratching and subscribing to the right publications to find the ones. There's one that is putting deals out on a Houston-based platform that is currently under investigation by the FBI for money laundering. Well, you probably didn't know that, but you don't subscribe to the journals and publications that we do, most likely. And I would suggest, has there been any mention of that amongst the faithful? No, even though some of the faithful are suing this particular syndicator for breach of contract and assorted other things. But, you know, this is what we do. When people ask, well, what do you do for these clients that you take on? We help you understand what you're signing up for on these real estate private partnership syndications. In any event, we're down to just under a minute, so I'm going to wrap up now. We hope that you can tune in to future Be a Planner shows right here on either, take your pick, KSEV AM 700 or KGBC AM 1540. Fridays at 11, we discuss planning topics like today's show, and sometimes on Sunday. And on Sundays, we discuss assorted cybersecurity issues, including artificial intelligence and data breaches. Stay informed, and until next time, may your data be secure and your browsing history private. I'm using the same sign-off as we do on other Sundays. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.